Developing news tonight, tornado disaster. States of emergency as over two dozen twisters carve a deadly path of destruction. Hundreds of homes decimated. For the first time, we see the massive scope of the damage. Targeting Trump, a critical night for Cruz and Rubio. It could be their last chance to blunt Donald Trump's march to the nomination. Super lice warning striking in 25 states, extremely resistant to the ways we usually get rid of them. What every parent should know. Don't drink the water. Another big city warns its residents about what's flowing into their homes. And video horror, the chilling moment that made Erin Andrews get up and leave the courtroom as jurors see the tape that she says turned her life into a nightmare. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. States of emergency are in effect in Virginia and North Carolina right now, among the places that took devastating blows from a violent and deadly storm that rampaged from the south up the eastern seaboard. Today, we're seeing the full extent of the damage from some 50 reported tornadoes over the last 2 days. 9 people were killed. And millions were impacted, from downed trees and power outages to floods and canceled flights. Tonight, the region is still trying to recover. NBC's Miguel Almaguer reports.
Tonight, this is what the damage looks like in 7 states. Homes have been shredded, lives are in shambles after more than 50 reported tornadoes.
When I went to see where the house were, it was nothing there.
In Waverly, Virginia, there's as much heartbreak as destruction. An EF1 tornado with winds up to 110 miles an hour, carving a path 9 miles long and 300 yards wide. In North Carolina, Huntsboro Road is obliterated. The tornado peeled the roof and walls off Pam West's house. Today, she and her husband Rick went back to salvage what they could.
There's nothing really to get.
It's all gone.
It's all gone.
An EF2 tornado in Pennsylvania crushed more than 50 homes. Parts of Amish country level. In a community that uses no electricity, it's the power of neighbor helping neighbor. What took minutes to destroy will now take months to rebuild.
This 3-day storm system plowed a path across some 70 million people, showing very little mercy. On one block alone, the damage can easily be in the millions. And while the storm moved through this community in a matter of minutes, it'll take months to rebuild. Lester.
All right. Miguel Almaguer tonight. Thank you. Now a critical night in the race for president. The final GOP debate before Super Tuesday, when voters in a dozen states go to the polls. And it could be the last shot for Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio to do something, anything, to knock Donald Trump off his march to the nomination. Meantime, the Clinton campaign is strategizing not only about Democratic opponent Bernie Sanders, but also looking ahead to a potential matchup with Trump in the fall. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Hallie Jackson in Houston. Hallie.
Good evening, Lester. Right now, Donald Trump appears to be leading in all of those Super Tuesday states, except for one, Texas, where here tonight he'll again be at center stage and at the center of the bullseye.
In Texas, where everything's bigger, so are the stakes at tonight's debate, the last stand before Super Tuesday for Donald Trump's rivals to stop him. He's facing fire today, not from his competitors in Houston, but across the border.
We're going to build the wall, and who's going to pay for that wall?
Now in a war of words, colorful ones, with Mexico's former president.
I'm not going to pay for that wall. He should pay for it. He's got the money.
Trump now demanding Vicente Fox apologize as he gets ready for a different battle with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio in Texas. But it's the Sunshine State where Trump looks hot, topping 40% there in the first poll since Jeb Bush dropped out. Marco Rubio trailing by 16, feeling the heat on his home turf. Rubio's aides tell NBC News watch for him to hit Trump for his positions on Israel and health care tonight, as Rubio's top strategist guarantees a victory in Florida, tweeting, "Take it to the bank." Rubio needs to win there, like Ted Cruz needs to in Texas. New numbers show Cruz still in command in his home state for now. Trump and Rubio jockeying for second place. A Cruz aide tells NBC the candidate is preparing responses to accusations he'll probably face about dirty tricks or lies, and ready to engage both Rubio and Trump.
We can't be fooled by P.T. Barnum. The time for the clowns and the acrobats and the dancing bears has passed.
For tonight's debate to matter on Tuesday, one of two things must happen. Donald Trump must have his worst debate so far, or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio must be able to land a solid punch on Trump.
Setting up a wild night in the Wild West. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Houston.
I'm Kristen Welker in Myrtle Beach, where Hillary Clinton is setting her sights on Donald Trump.
It's been most surprising to me to see somebody who was affable really traffic in a lot of the prejudice and paranoia.
Her campaign girding for a potential general election matchup, sending out a fundraising email titled Everything's Coming Up Trump, her top surrogate taking constant aim.
The man who once said he wanted to make America great again. I don't think America ever stopped being great. We need to make America whole again, where we're all a part of it.
Campaign sources telling NBC News they're working on challenges to Trump's divisive and unconventional campaign if Clinton should win the nomination, with a strategy that might also be unconventional. The most recent national polling gives Clinton a decisive victory over Trump, 50-40%. But Clinton has a more immediate battle, taking on Bernie Sanders in South Carolina, where a Black Lives Matter activist confronted Clinton last night for seeming to disparage black youth while talking about the drug problem as First Lady, describing, quote, super predators, saying, quote, we need to bring them to heel. Tonight in a statement, Clinton saying, looking back, I shouldn't have used those words. Still, the moment underscores her challenge connecting with some young voters.
Every person in this room is enormously powerful.
Who continue to flock to Senator Bernie Sanders, again today in Ohio and in Flint, Michigan. A New York Times editorial out tonight calls on Clinton to release the transcripts from those paid speeches she gave to Wall Street, arguing the stonewalling only fuels speculation. It could be a cloud that hangs over her campaign, whether she's taking on Senator Sanders or the GOP nominee. Lester.
All right, Kristen, thank you. Let's bring in our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. Chuck, let's break down the scenarios here. You've been doing the math. How might this play out for Trump and his rivals?
Well, let's start with our best estimate of what the delegate count's going to look like after Super Tuesday. It's over here on the board that I got over here. Essentially, if Donald Trump wins all of these Super Tuesday states with about 35% of the vote, like he did in South Carolina, he will build a little over a 100 delegate lead, start a methodical march to the nomination. And then he has a chance to accelerate it and essentially cinch the nomination 2 weeks later. How does he do it? If he wins all of these winner-take-all states, he would win all the delegates in Ohio by beating Kasich, all the delegates in Florida by beating Rubio. He would get to 650 delegates, basically halfway to the magic number of 1237, and he'd be well out of his way. However, if John Kasich can beat Trump in Ohio and Marco Rubio can beat Trump in Florida, look at how the delegate math changes. We did the math here. What does this mean, Lester, is the bottom line? There's two scenarios now left in the Republican nomination race. Donald Trump wins this nomination by March 15th, or we're headed to Cleveland in a contested convention. There is no other scenario.
All right, Chuck, thank you. High drama tonight in the battle between Apple and the FBI. The company filed a motion today to throw out a judge's order for it to help the FBI crack an iPhone used by the San Bernardino killers, saying the feds are seeking a dangerous power, all of it as Apple insiders say the company is now working on a new version that would be impossible to unlock by anyone but the user. Our justice correspondent Pete Williams has details.
Apple has always made security a selling point.
These are the new iPhones.
When it released the iPhone 6, as Edward Snowden was warning about government surveillance, Apple made a point of saying it would no longer help police get information out of the new phones when they were locked, even when served with a search warrant. Now Apple insiders say the company is trying to make its phones even more secure, working to develop an iPhone that cannot be unlocked by anyone but the user, not by the police, not even by Apple itself. And it's fighting the FBI, which wants Apple to modify the software in the phone to disarm the security and let agents try to unlock an iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino attackers. The FBI director told Congress today it's a lead that must be pursued.
We must do a competent investigation following the murder of 14 people in San Bernardino, and we will, and we'll use whatever lawful tools are available to us.
But Apple says the FBI is trying to force it to create a brand new version of the iPhone by changing the software, and it says the government cannot do that.
It cannot ask a private citizen to create a product for it, and it cannot ask Apple to change the iPhone in ways that was never intended to be used or to be employed in.
Apple today told a judge in San Bernardino that what the FBI wants would create a back door, leaving personal information vulnerable to hackers, identity thieves, hostile foreign agents, and unwarranted government surveillance.
Next week, both Apple and the FBI will face off in a hearing on Capitol Hill. They both say it should be up to Congress, not the courts, to settle this fight. Pete Williams, NBC News at the Supreme Court.
Chilling and uncomfortable moments in court today that prompted star sports anchor Erin Andrews to leave the courtroom as jurors saw for the first time the tape at the center of her lawsuit against a hotel giant that captured her private moments in her hotel room, shot by a stalker in the room next door. We get more from NBC's Morgan Radford.
Today, the video that she says changed her life was shown to a room full of strangers. Erin Andrews stepped out as the jury sat in the dark, watching those stolen images viewed almost 17 million times.
So this is the first one at the Nashville Marriott, correct?
Yes, this is one of the ones. Once it's on the internet, it's on the internet. Many people have individual copies out there.
Michael David Barrett altered the peephole of Andrews' hotel room door and filmed her getting dressed in 2008. The former insurance executive admitted to following her to three different hotels across the country. Caught in 2009, he offered a tearful apology as he was sentenced to 2.5 years in jail, begging her forgiveness.
His apology isn't good enough. It doesn't take down the video off the internet. I've cried enough, and it's not taking the video down.
She was extremely distressed.
Earlier today, Andrews' therapist testified by video, describing the panic Andrews felt when her stalker got out of jail and she wasn't told.
She was extremely concerned that this would reinvigorate the story on the internet.
Andrews is expected to take the stand next week, hearing new testimony from the man she says left her hurt and humiliated. Morgan Radford, NBC News.
The people of Jackson, Mississippi are facing a scary and unfortunately familiar sounding crisis over lead found in drinking water. Children and pregnant women have been warned not to drink the water in this city of more than 170,000 people, where 30% live below the poverty line. And as Stephanie Gosk reports, there are questions about why they weren't warned sooner.
The lead warning rattled the people of Jackson. Many, like mother of three, Monica Cable, worry their city is another Flint.
Just to hear that water is gone wrong in another city, in another state, and then now my own city and state, it's something that I would have never thought of.
Officials downplay the comparisons, while at the same time warning pregnant women and children under five not to drink the tap water for 6 months. Small children need lead testing, and everyone should avoid hot water and run the tap 2 minutes before using it. The problems began last June. 20% of homes sampled had high lead levels. 6 months later, 10% of the homes tested high. That was when the state alerted city leaders, who told the public but didn't warn pregnant women and children not to drink the water until Wednesday, nearly 8 months after the first high readings. State officials say they were following EPA guidelines.
We've done exactly what the federal requirements were for a long time.
But you've looked at those requirements, and your evaluation is they're actually not sufficient.
They're not sufficient, and we've made the change so that they will be more sufficient.
It won't be an easy fix for Jackson. The mayor says the plants need urgent upgrades, and there is a lot of lead in the aging water system, a problem facing nearly every city.
Lead lines were used all over the country, and this is going to become a national issue.
At this children's clinic, worried parents have been calling all day.
It's better to be safe than sorry, especially with the children at stake.
Monica says her church sent bottled water to Flint, but now she wonders if they should have kept it here. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, Jackson, Mississippi.
We're following some breaking news here this evening. Let's go to NBC's Joe Fryer.
Good evening, Lester. Police are on the scene of a deadly workplace shooting in Kansas. The sheriff says the gunman has been killed by law enforcement, but at this point, as many as 3 to 4 others are dead and up to 20 could be injured. It happened at Excel Industries in Heston, Kansas, which is about 35 miles from Wichita. Authorities say there are 4 or 5 different crime scenes. Witnesses describe a chaotic situation.
I hear a pop, pop, and I'm just thinking some paint cans are going, something going up. And more people running all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. And I'm going, I start running too.
The sheriff confirms the gunman was an employee, but at this point his motive is unclear. Lester.
Still ahead here tonight, the risk from so-called super lice. It's much more stubborn to get rid of, and it's already spreading in half the country. What to do if your kids come home with it? Also, a sports superstar just made a dream come true for a little boy who became a viral sensation. If you have school-aged children, maybe you've dealt with it, or you likely know a family who has lice. The CDC reports that up to 12 million children a year will get lice. And tonight, an important warning you need to hear. Research now shows an outbreak of so-called super lice, much more resistant to treatment in 25 states so far. Al Rahima Ellis explains how to stop it.
Is that the same one?
11-year-old Lila Botour is getting checked for lice today.
There's another one right here.
Sure enough, they're back again. Her mother, Andrea, says this is the fourth time in a year for her family.
Just the other day, she was itching a little. I said, is your head itching? She said, not really. She was itching her head. It wasn't like she was, like, itching her head.
She's not alone. Scientists have recently identified super lice, resistant to the main chemical in over-the-counter treatments. The so-called super lice have now spread to 25 states.
It's important not to panic. Lice are not a health hazard. They don't transmit disease.
To kill these super lice, experts advise, first try learning how to comb them out. Use over-the-counter treatments repeatedly over several weeks. Ask your doctor for prescription treatments. Wash clothing and linens in hot water. Or there's also a lice clinic like Hair Genies.
Absolutely. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We tell the kids here, it's not your fault. Somebody gave it to you.
Lila is learning how to stop it from spreading.
They have like a spray, and I use their spray before I go to school.
What do you and your girlfriends do? Do you share hats, hairbrushes, or what do you do?
No, I get my hairbrush. And since we're like on our phones a lot, we have to make sure that like our heads aren't together.
Families trying to stay super vigilant against super lice. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Norwalk, Connecticut.
We're back in a moment with a big but rather unexpected name who has a role to play this weekend at the Oscars. The Supreme Court buzz around Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval is over before the trial balloon even got off the ground. After word yesterday that the White House was vetting the Republican for the court vacancy, he said today no thanks, telling the White House he does not wish to be considered for the job. A surprise announcement ahead of the Oscars. Vice President Joe Biden will appear at the ceremony to spotlight the issue of campus sexual assault and the efforts he's leading to fight it. Biden will introduce Lady Gaga's performance of the song Till It Happens to You, which was featured in the campus sexual assault documentary The Hunting Ground. A little boy who touched so many on social media just got the thing he most desired. 5-year-old Murtaza Ahmadi wanted the jersey worn by soccer star Lionel Messi, but it proved impossible for his family in Afghanistan to get. So his brother made him one with a plastic bag and a magic marker. The photos went viral, and Messi was so moved, he sent the boy not one but 2 signed jerseys. When we come back, should a wall be built on the border? How the controversy is dividing voters who will decide the biggest contest yet in this campaign. Finally, tonight comes Super Tuesday. The biggest prize on the map will be Texas. And we wanted to know what will decide this crucial race for voters there. So we asked our Kevin Tibbles to find out in one small Texas town in our series, We the People.
It's a bitter wind that blows through the oil fields south of San Antonio. Here in Karnes City, people say 95% of the jobs depend on the price of a barrel of the black stuff. And it's dropped like a stone.
It's horrible.
Chaz Hicks manages a small oil service company. 50% of his business has vanished. He wants the economy back on track.
When you have to let somebody go, it weighs on you after a while.
Frustrating.
Zach Reiser is 27 with a family, a mortgage, and no job.
It'll break you down as a man. I have a 7-month-old little girl that relies on me, that didn't ask for this life.
Here's the kind of candidate he's looking for.
Someone that's going to fight for us.
With the southern border less than 200 miles away, the issue of jobs and immigration go hand in hand over beers and brisket at the Red Dog Ice House.
Immigration has to do with the sovereignty of our nation. Not just me for losing a job, but for every American out here that somebody's coming across the border taking their job.
Stanley Pullen has also been laid off.
Think we should build a wall?
Yes. Well, you wouldn't want me to tell you what kind of wall I'd be.
Tabitha Hidalgo rejects the closed border idea.
They're coming from a different background. Opening ourselves up to that can only help us grow.
But in a place where opportunity has dried up, it is troubling for a young father.
I don't know where I'm going to be or what I'm going to be doing, but I'm going to go to work.
And for the moment, there is no sign of the wind changing direction. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Carnes City, Texas.
And that will do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt, reporting from our studios in Los Angeles. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.